1 minute after 5 South African time. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning, Yomul Thulatha, which is today the 4th of Dhulqa'dah, 1442. We're requesting all the listeners, inshallah, to make special dua as well for our beloved Ustad, who's not feeling well. Allah Ta'ala grant him shifa kamil and ajlan daiman mustamiran, inshallah. Ustad, let's welcome you, inshallah, to the program. We love you, Ustad. We love you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Riyaz Hussain. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. وَاحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُوا قَوْلِي سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today is the 4th of Dhulqa'dah 1442. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, we focus on chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verses 15, 16 and 17. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us what will happen tomorrow on the day of justice, on the day of judgment. Wastaftahu, they, the prophets and the messengers who were selected by Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, they will seek judgment. Ya Allah, pass the verdict for those people who are successful and those who are the failures. So wastaftahu refers to the prophets and messengers. They will appeal, beg, petition Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. And we find an example of that when Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salatu salam, Khatibul Anbiya, who was the orator of the prophets and messengers, he was sent to the people of Midian, and they were a community who were very, very wealthy, influential, but the sad and tragic part was that their business dealings were not above board, that they were people who were committing so much fraud and so forth. So he, Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam, said, chapter 7, verse number 89, رَبَّنَ افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ. Ya Allah Jalla wa'ala, you pass the verdict between us and our people according to the truth, Ya Allah. Obviously it will be the truth, so that is for emphasis. Wa anta khairul fatihin, you are the best one to pass the verdict, O beloved Allah. Chapter 7, verse 89. So yeah, the prophets as a collective, they will appeal, petition, beg Almighty Allah. Wastaftahu, that Ya Allah pass the verdict. Now the verdict will be passed. وَخَابَ كُلُّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ, and every tenpot dictator, every person who is an oppressor and a tyrant, and anid and stubborn and obstinate, they will be the failures. Look at today the rulers, and you will see that once they have position, they become tenpot dictators, they become insolent, they become proud, arrogant, and they feel they can do whatever they want to. So Almighty Allah on that day will humiliate them further and further. Therefore, me and you, we should be reading daily Surah chapter 3, verse number 194. وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, and do not disgrace us, O Allah, on the day of justice. So that is what Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala is teaching us, that we beg Allah. Now what will happen to these people who are the tyrants, the oppressors, the tenpot dictators, and they are stubborn and obstinate? You must understand the next verse. Many words in Arabic is one word, but it has two opposite meanings. You take, for example, jaza. Jaza can mean reward, or it could mean punishment. So here also the word wara. Wara will mean behind, or wara will mean in front of. So in this text and context, wara means in front of you. مِنْ وَرَائِهِ جَهَنَّمُ. So these people, in front of them, there will be Jahannam, the hellfire. وَيُسْقَى مِنْ مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ. And they'll be given to drink the water, such sadid. Sadid is the pus and all the matter that comes out from the Jahannamiyin, from the people who are already in Jahannam. Can you imagine drinking that? Which is, you must remember, the pus and the matter, and that is excreting, coming out from the people who are already the inmates and companions of Jahannam. That will be their food, their drink, and so forth. لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا. In Jahannam, they will not have anything cool, anything palatable and nice and good and tasty. إلا حميما وغساقا. But they will have the boiling water that will obviously burn them, and they will have the matter and the pus coming out, excreting from the people of Jahannam. Allahumma jirna min an-nar. Allahumma jirna min an-nar. Therefore, after Fajr, after Maghrib, we beg Almighty Allah 7 times. The hadith in Abu Dawood, Ya Allah, protect and save us from Jahannam and the hellfire. Now, once they're already in Jahannam, the hellfire, and they'll be drinking all this matter and pus, yatajarra'uhu. Yatajarra'uhu means they will drink it little by little, droplet by droplet. Wala yakadu yusighuhu. They will not be able to swallow it. They will not be able to swallow it. You know, in life, sometimes people have a choking problem. People have problems in swallowing and so forth. So, وَلَا يَكَادُ يُسِيغُهُ. Yes, temporary, 1 minute, 5 minutes. For them, you must remember, it is that forever it will continue like that. وَيَأَتِيهِ الْمَوْتِ. And he will think that death is coming to him, مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, from all directions and all corners. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. But he will not die. So imagine different types of punishment. And remember the principle. What is the principle? القرآن يفسر بعضه بعضا. That Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, he explains one verse with other verses in a noble Quran. And Almighty Allah speaks of this in a noble Quran. If you open Surah Muzammil, chapter 73, that Almighty Allah speaks of Jahannam and the hellfire. وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. وَطَعَامًا, and the food will be such that it will choke them. And they'll be shouting, screaming, because nor can they swallow it, and nor can they get rid of it. وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا, and it will be a painful, terrible punishment for them. And this is enshrined in chapter 73 and verse number 13. So may Almighty Allah protect us مِنْ عَذَابِ جَهَنَّمْ, from the punishment, chastisement of Jahannam. So مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, they'll think they're going to die from every side and every corner. وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ, but he will not die. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِ, again the word وَرَائِهِ means not behind, but in front. And in front of him, عَذَابٌ غَلِيثٌ, there will be worse punishment and chastisement. So Almighty Allah is warning us, this worldly life is very, very short, is temporary, it's a sojourn. And remember, death will come, then the reality will dawn upon us. I gave you the example many a time and several times in the past. You are in Durban, you are in Cape Town, PE, and wherever else. So you see, you have the ocean there. So the one fish told the other fish that don't go and take that bait. There's a person there, his name is AK. He's 6 feet tall. He got 32 teeth, but I don't have 32 teeth. But anyway, so he's got 32 teeth. And then when he catches you, then he's going to cut you to pieces. Then they're going to fry you. And then they're going to do this to you. Then they'll eat you up. So that fish, it went here and there, it came to the first fish and told him, you talk a lot of nonsense, you understand? There's no person here 6 feet tall, there's no one here with 32 teeth, there's no oil, there's no frying, there's no brying, nothing here. And then when the bait came, then the reality dawned, but alas, it's too late. That is our example, remember that we think we are too intelligent, and therefore people reject Almighty Allah, Allah forbid. They reject the prophets and the messengers and Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah forbid. They reject Islam, Allah forbid. So these are the greatest gifts which Almighty Allah has conferred upon us, and therefore we have to hold on to it very, very firmly, alhamdulillah. I'm very well. Mona Arafat, you must understood. I just told him my nose is running a little bit. So alhamdulillah, I'm just very well, alhamdulillah. But keep on making dua for me and the ummah, mashallah. I just told him my nose is running a little bit. So anyway, we well, with Allah Ta'ala's help, Allah Ta'ala keep everyone with siha and afiyah. Remember today between 11 and 12, inshallah, is the bliss of marriage with Moana Arafat and myself, inshallah al-Aziz. And remember that we should be always making dua. So many people are passing away. So many people are ill and sick. So make dua for all of them, those who passed away with Iman and Islam. Surah 14, verse 41. Rabbana filli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. O beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. And those who are ill and sick, virus or whatever sickness, say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sayyi'il asqam. O beloved Allah, I seek your protection from the dreaded diseases. And that is mentioned in Abu Dawood and Sunan Nasai, authentic hadith. May Almighty Allah grant one and all siha, afiyah, and izzat, health, wealth, safety, comfort, protection of our Iman and Islam, and honor and dignity in this world and the year after.
I see Heidelberg is listening to you this morning, Ustad. Tell your Fatima she must give you healthy arad, honey and lemon, Ustad, from Heidelberg.
Yes, Jazakallah khair. She knows she's a Hakim Chichi, so you must remember that. She's a big Hakim. She knows all the things and all that. Speaking of Heidelberg, that yesterday I received a fair message from the Ait Adia family. Mm-hmm. There was a senior Maulana, I met him also, Maulana Nomani. So his son, Yunus Noman, he passed away there in Nelspruit yesterday. Allah Jalla wa'ala grant him Jannatul Firdaus. And today Maulana will tell us that the Kala passed away, our Hafiz Abdul Rahman's daughter in law, right?
Ji, Ustad.
Yeah, Sister Khadija. Ma Khadija, Allah Ta'ala grant her also Jannatul Firdaus. So many people we know and those we don't know. Allah Jalla wa'ala make it easy for everybody.
Ameen. Can ladies perform the Janaza Salah, Ustad? If not, then why not, Ustad?
Remember that there are two separate issues. The Janaza Salat is Farz-e Kifaya. Farz-e Kifaya means that if certain people in the community do it, then remember, undertake it, perform it, the entire community will be absolved. There is no sin upon them. And they, the people who participated in the funeral prayer, the janaza salat, they will be rewarded by Almighty Allah. So if they are men and they do so, and remember, it's compulsory upon them. So janaza salat is not compulsory upon women. But say, for example, you are in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa Mubarak, and there they announce, As-salatu alal amwat, yarhamukumullah. We're reading Salatul Janaza. And you as a lady, you are there in the Haram Sharif, and you read and perform the Salatul Janaza, it will be valid. But remember, it's not compulsory upon you. We will never advocate and tell you, you must go there to the mosque, or you must go there to the Qabristan, the Maqbara graveyard for you ladies, and go and participate. That we totally against it, and we say it's not permissible.
Hmm. Somebody says, Ustad, some mothers cannot express breast milk for the newborns, Ustad. What are the benefits of breast milk for the child, Ustad?
Remember, Almighty Allah has spoken of this in various places in the Noble Quran. وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ In Surah Luqman, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks about it. The maximum period, remember, for the breastfeeding and so forth is the 2 lunar years. So obviously that the lady should do so, because remember, this is how the mother and child will bond with one another, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will reward you abundantly. And this is mentioned in Surah Luqman, chapter 31 and verse number 14. Likewise, Almighty Allah states, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِئْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ that the women should breastfeed for 2 lunar years. Obviously, if you want to stop after 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, husband, wife, parents of the baby make mashura. Watashawurin, you consult one another, and then you say, fine, she will wean the child within 3, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year. So that's also acceptable. Sometimes it goes to over 2 years, and now she's going now to the 25th month, 27th month, 28th month. So according to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, that also is permissible. وَحَمَلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. So Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, said that 24 months, that is 2 years, is the cut-off. But if she's weaning the baby and it goes to 30 months, so that also will be acceptable, permissible. And that is chapter 46, verse number 15. If you don't have milk, then remember that you must beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Allahumma barikli, Allahumma barikli, Ya Allah, give me barakah, Ya Allah, give me barakah. And if you are so sickly and so forth, then remember you got 2-3 options. Either you use the artificial ones and so forth, you know, all these other ones and all that. Or you get a murdi'ah. Murdi'ah will be, you get another lady to breastfeed. You must remember your beloved son, your beloved daughter. And that was the custom, remember, in the Arab countries, in the Arabs in those days. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was breastfed by who? By Suwayba, was breastfed by the African lady, Baraka. So you must remember that all this happened there, Umm Ayman. So all this happened there because they were not the mother of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi salam's mother was Sayyida Amina. So it shows that there are options you can look at if you can't produce any milk at all.
Let's go to Mauritius, Ustad. Medical aid. The listener says, does medical aid fall under insurance because you are paying for something that you're not sure you will ever use? I had medical aid for 28 years and never used it. Mauritius, Ustad.
Remember, my brother, some ulama are of that opinion that medical aid will fall under the purview ambit of gambling and insurance and so forth, hence not permissible because of gambling interest, what have you. But according to us and our honorable Ustad and Sheikh Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haqsab, Hafizahullah, these are the issues we discuss many a time academically and so forth. And we look at the halat, we look at the conditions in our respective countries. If you look at South Africa today and you look at government hospitals, they're in a shambles. I think every person will agree to that. So you must remember, I pay, for example, 500 rand, 1,000 rand, 2,000, whatever the amount is, right? So you pay 1,000 rand per month. But you are not receiving money in exchange for money, like life insurance and so forth. That is haram. It's not permissible. Yeah, you are receiving services in exchange of that, whether it's a bed, whether it's medication, injection, whether it's operation and so forth. So therefore, our fatwa verdict will be medical aid is permissible. That's the fatwa and the verdict. And taqwa and piety precaution will be a person should abstain, so that will be the best. But we will still say, especially in our circumstances, it is permissible and acceptable.
Ustad, a sister says, regarding that organization that we gave the money to for Gaza, for Palestine, they have responded to us and they said that mistakenly the money went missing. So they're asking, can they refund the money back? Should you take the money back, Ustad? Yes or no?
100%. How can they come with a feeble excuse like that? You see, what I tell you, sooner or later it comes out. Now, if you should not bring this on the radio, remember, they should be silent. That is khiyanat in amanat. That is the sign of hypocrites. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, ayatul munafiqi thalath, that the signs of the hypocrites are 3. Idha haddatha kazaba, when they speak lies. Wa idha atumina khana, when you entrust them with some trust, with some amanat, they make khiyanat, they commit breach of trust. This is breach of trust. You advertising on TV, on radio, and here and there and wherever, give us your money. Now when you cornered them, they say, no, the money is lost. You see? So this is, you must remember, that the committing breach of trust, making khiyanat in amanat. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ And when you promise, then they got no intention of fulfilling the promise. So these are the signs you must remember of hypocrites and munafiqeen. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and in Sahih Muslim, another hadith, another portion, وَإِذَا خَاصَمَ فَجَرَ When you debate, discuss with them, then they get so upset, they will start speaking Chinese and Portuguese and all that. They will sway you in different languages, you must remember. So think properly. You must demand your money. You gave 5,000, 10,000, 100,000, tell them you want every cent back. And tell them we will never ever give you in future because you are careless and you are reckless and irresponsible.
As the sister says, at the end of the letter, they say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should hide the faults of another. This was from the organization. We gave in total 85,000 rand, Ustad.
There's it there. Now you see, that is human being. They commit the wrong, but they want you to feel guilty because they pocket the money. That's why I tell you, you must remember this, that 80% of our organizations in South Africa, Africa and the world, you can't rely upon them. You must remember. This whole thing today is money-making racket, you must remember. And they know people now, they got that feeling for Palestine, for Gaza and so forth. 85,000 rand is a lot of money. I am telling you, even if it's 85 rand, never mind 85,000, you must demand it back and you must tell people, ABC, a bunch of chores and crooks they are, that they have stolen our money and then they tell us we must cover it up. They must demand it back, you must remember that.
The listeners need some advice from you, Ustad. He says, good morning, sir. My mom is on a ventilator for the past 2 months now. She went in a coma after becoming Muslim. Doctors are killing us with the pills. Do we switch the ventilator off? She breathes on her own a few hours a day. This is Brother Neil, Ustad.
My brother Neil, and I hope you, my brother Eric, there in Umhlanga, you are awake, my brother. So if you got any queries, you post and send us your queries, 084-786-3132, WhatsApp the message. My brother Neil, yes, you must remember, you should do that. You see, today, this is the truth. We have to speak the truth. 90% of the clinics, hospitals, if you remember that the patient has a medical aid, they make him or her a milking cow. My one uncle stayed here in a famous clinic in Johannesburg for 2.5 months. And the bill came almost 2.5 million, 3 million. Allah. Because the person had medical aid, they just keep milking you. So let me give you one advice. Your mother is Muslimah. She's a Muslim, alhamdulillah. She is on the ventilator. Allah, Jalla wala, make things easy for her and for you, the family. See, my brother Neil, I give you my incident. It was 2002. I was there in overseas, long story. And then when I came back, I saw my brother paid, horrible, terrible condition. In this sense, there was no chance for him. So you must remember, the doctor told me, African doctor, but what a gentleman he was. He told me, see, we need this bed. Your brother is in ICU. So I asked him, what are the options? He said, no, I give you one more day. But if the condition is like this, then we will have to switch off. So I told him, fine. So next day, he called us. It was a Sunday. We were there early morning. So I told him, fine, doc, you carry on whatever you have to do. I give you permission, you switch off the ventilator, everything. He said, no, I give you still 3 hours, you pray and everything, and I'll come 10:30 in the morning, and then we will do our job. So you, Neil, you discuss with your family and say, yes, we will switch off the ventilator. Islamically, it's totally permissible. And remember, you should not feel guilty. We as Muslims believe, ventilator or no ventilator, the person will pass away on the appointed time. May Almighty Allah make easy for your beloved mother. Read, all of you, Neil, your brothers, your sisters, your family, read. I'm reading in Arabic. You don't know Arabic, then read in English or whichever language. Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayran laha fa ahyiha wa in kanatil wafatu khayran laha fa tawaffaha. Ya Allah, if life is better for our beloved mother, then give her life. And if death is better, Ya Allah, then grant the death on Iman, on Islam, on faith, and so forth. So that is the supplication, what you should read, my brother Neil. You should be strong now, and remember, you should take the leadership and convince and persuade your family as well.
I see Neil says that. Thank you so much. for the words of encouragement, and it's a story to hear about your brother. May God be with him. Neil Ustad.
Yes, remember, it was a long time ago, 20 years ago, approximately 2002. But obviously, we can never forget our beloved parents, our siblings, and so forth. So, inshallah, all Allah, all willing, God willing, Allah Ta'ala make everything easy for you also.
I see Eric says, I heard you calling my name, AK. I'm here, I'm listening to you. Okay, the question I want to ask you is, between the devil and the deep blue sea, what proof is there that a God exists? Ustad, Eric from Umslanga.
My brother Eric, you are facing the Indian Ocean there in Durban, in Umslanga. So you're looking there, and then you see 7 o'clock, quarter to 7, up past 6, 6 o'clock. There, depending on the season, the sun is rising. Then the sun sets, what, every day with precision and accuracy. Now you tell me, brother Eric, who makes that sun rise? Who makes that sunset? You look at your eyes, look at your nose, look at your ears, look at your anatomy. You are the greatest computer, oh Eric. You are the masterpiece of Allah's creation. Did my parents, did your parents create you? How did we come into existence? Who gave us life? Who gave us death? Look around you, the flora and the fauna, there in your beautiful Umslanga. Who brings about the seasons? You look at it in summer, and it is so beautiful and so lush and plush. And you look at it in winter, and you see that everything is withering away. Be honest about it. There must be a supreme being. And that supreme being, remember, is Almighty Allah. You call him God, capital G. You call him Allah. You call him Khuda. That's in Urdu and other languages. So therefore, from a logical perspective also, you will have to accept who gives life and who gives death. The doctor himself tells you we can't do anything. So how many people, they will tell you that you take your father, mother home. You got example now of brother Neil. The doctors are saying, we can't really do anything much now. So therefore, my brother Eric, we have to believe in the supreme being, one and only creator, Almighty Allah. I want to share something else with you. How do we know that this is the devil? And how do we know it is the deep blue sea, meaning our own worms, fancies and desires? You see, the first time, second time, we commit vices. The person commits fornication, adultery, stealing, alcohol, wine, dine and swine. So then the first time, second time is the devil. And then when we get accustomed to it, now that person gets addicted to that alcohol. He gets addicted to that drugs. Now it's no more the devil. Now it is that blue sea that is our own worms, fancies and desires that have become the slave of the devil. So Almighty Allah created this world and we have to make the right choices. We have to suppress the desires. Remember the robot principle I gave you last night. So think of that sincerely, my brother Eric.
I see brother Brian says, sir, I was born a Muslim, but people can't answer many of my questions. So I went to choose another religion. Sir, does heaven exist? Has anybody been there to witness it and came back to say it's reality? I'm Brian, Ustad.
Very good, my brother Brian, that whatever questions you have, you pose it to us, inshallah, that with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah, we will answer it. Brian, I want to ask you three simple questions. I'm just giving an example. I don't know you, right? So you are standing in front of me and I give you a good smack, like how that president of France got a good smack, you know, and a good slap. So you start shouting, hey, the pain, the pain. So I'll tell you, show me the pain. Can you show it to me, bride? Number two, that you are sleeping with your wife. You are sleeping with your daughter, with your son. Suddenly, in the darkness of the night, 2-3 o'clock, they wake up and they're perspiring. You ask them what happened. They say, I experienced a terrible nightmare. And just look at my condition. You are right there. But can you see it? No. But the signs are there. So you must remember that. Third one, you must remember our ruh, our soul, our spirit. Almighty Allah speaks of it in the Quran. وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Show me one doctor, one scientist, one professor in the entire world that can explain to us what happens at the time of death, how the ruh, the soul, the spirit separates, emanates from the body. So we can give you 100 examples, Brother Brian. So yes, we have to believe in heaven and paradise. Why? Because we believe in the Quran Sharif. The noble Quran is the direct speech of Almighty Allah. Almighty Allah knows this human being. He only will do things when there are incentives. So He created us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. If you carry out what I am telling you, what Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is telling you, then you will pass away and enter paradise and Jannah and heaven. But if you're going to become the slave of your worm's fancies and desires, you're going to join the Satan and Satan and Lucifer, then you'll end up in the hellfire. So that is the benevolence, the mercy of Almighty Allah. My brother Brian, we say and we believe, when a person enters paradise, it is fadlam min Allah, it is the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah. And when a person is dispatched to hellfire, Allah forbid, it is adlam min Allah, the justice system of Almighty Allah. So think about what I told you, my brother Brian, and you keep on contacting us, and inshallah, we will answer your queries. Jazakallah khairan, 11 to 12, inshallah, we will see you with a bless of marriage. Assalamu alaikum.
Ustaz, one more question quickly before we terminate Safina to Ilal Jannah. A brother from Senton wants to know, Ustaz, there is still clips going around about where the Palestinian, they're ill-treating our children, Ustaz. Can we go there with your permission just to bring the children so we can look after them, Ustaz, from Senton?
Remember, you can't just go and enter Palestine and Gaza and all that. It's not a walk in the park. There is so many, you understand, challenges to get inside and so forth. And we don't want the Palestinians to leave Palestine. We are demanding from the international community that there are 6 million Palestinians in the diaspora in different countries in the world. And Palestine is their homeland. How the Jutla, the Jew, has the right of return. So why does the Palestinian not have the right of return? So that is an apartheid terrorist regime. You must remember this. So Allah Jalla Wala will reward them in this world, in the year after. How? You will see that the apartheid terrorist regime of Israel will fall. Already a new government is in, and Bibi is barking like a dog now. You must remember there's Benjamin Netanyahu, and remember that Allah humiliated him and Trump and the Arab 10-pot dictators who thought that these chaps will help them. So all are humiliated. But it is the blood, it is the sacrifices of these Palestinian men, women, and flowers and children that Palestine will be liberated, Masjid al-Aqsa will be liberated, and see what will happen in future. Allah Jalla Wala will make them the rulers of Palestine, inshallah. So all this, we must never say, I want to bring Palestinians back. No, we want they must stay there, and inshallah, we want the 6 million to enter and go back to their homeland and motherland.
Allahu Akbar. A minute after six, we